entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Business Builders Show. I'm your business coach, Marty Wolf, and your host for the Business Builder Show. Joining me in the studio is my sidekick, Mr. Kerry Carney, and our producer, Mr. Tom Jenkins. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Marty.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Kerry.
Another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments later in the show. The Business Builder Show is for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. We deliver tips for running your business on the topics of technology, sales and marketing, finance, leadership, innovation, and personal development. As always, we do all we can to bring the classroom to you. Our special guest today is Philip Van Hooser. Philip's topic is leadership. And gentlemen, what I really liked about this interview was, more specifically, it's about common sense leadership. This interview is for all leaders. However, mid-managers and supervisors will find this discussion very helpful for their leadership journey. Don't you think, Kerry, that there was a lot of good stuff for mid-managers and supervisors? Those are on that career path.
Philip really drilled it down, and I love the way in his book that he talked about some of the errors that he learned from over it. And that's common sense.
Right.
When you can learn from past experience.
Right. Yeah, it was great the way he did talk about that. Before we get to Philip, though, let's talk more about this urgent versus important. We've mentioned this before. Urgency versus importance. And it comes from Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And what made me think about this was Phil's interview, and he mentions that sometimes we don't think through how our actions will create reactions. That is why we need to think about this a little more, I think, gentlemen, this urgent versus important thought process, because maybe we don't think about it enough, you know? And go ahead, Kerry.
It's that sensibility of being proactive, so you're not always engaged in a reactive system.
There you go.
And that becomes, if you're totally reactive, your whole day consists of putting out fires.
Right. And we don't want to go there, because what we're talking about, urgency versus importance, is living a life of purpose. I know this sounds a little heavy duty, but stay with me. It's really about making decisions on purpose or intentionally and thinking about the short and long-term consequences. I think our interview last week actually led to something. But, Tom, you have a thought?
Well, also short and long, not just consequences, but rewards, too. You know, I don't like to stay all the way to the negative. You know, it's always, every action will give you a consequence and a reward.
Excellent. Excellent thought. Yeah, absolutely. Short and long-term. Potential rewards and or potential consequences. That's great. And our interview, I think it was last week, with John Rogers, and he talked about living intentionally, and he was talking about leadership. So I thought that was really a great thought process. And he was talking about engaging employees and so doing things intentionally. So I wanted to bring this back and connect with Phil's interview. And here's something I found really interesting, too. In reading Orrin Woodward's book, who was also a recent guest, and his book is called Resolved, and he was talking about how easily we do get distracted, how easily we let time slip away. And he was in front of a small audience, guys, and he was asking, I guess, why don't people read or learn as much as they should, and why don't they allocate time to learn more intentionally? The question was answered this way by one of the attendees. One of the audience members said, because books don't ring. Let me say that again. Books don't ring. Now, when I read that, I thought, man, is that right on? in the day of smartphones.
I was just going to say, is this a smartphone reference?
This is a smartphone reference, and we all usually we have it in our hands, or we go to bed with it, or, you know, our smartphones, our computers, all our electric devices, they buzz, they ring, they make some kind of a noise to distract us.
And with that distraction, if you really thought and looked at the percentage of the importance of the distraction at that immediate moment, I would think you find, I know I find it with my kids, it wasn't really that important to stop and react to.
That's the real thought process, Kerry. So let's talk about, let's get real on this urgency versus importance, and let's talk about things we might really consider important tasks. And I'm going to go back to reading and learning. Question I have for you, do you schedule time to do this? Do you have a recommended reading list? Oh, gee, I have one. How about that? Show preparation, right, folks?
And by reading, Marty, you're talking about not just your trade journals and not the mandatory things you should be reading about.
Well, mandatory is the key word, Kerry. You're learning.
If you're an HVAC, you have to be up on everything in HVAC.
Right.
This reading is additional to the mandatory information in your said business.
This is about growth. That's what this is about. This is about growth. So let me mention some books that I've read and that I love and I'd like to recommend. Obviously, the first one is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. Two by Napoleon Hill, and a lot of people will know that I'm going to mention Think and Grow Rich. And the other one is Outwitting the Devil, both by Napoleon Hill. I think the next one is an absolute classic. It's called Success Principles by Jack Canfield. Jack Canfield is the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And, you know, we have so many other, you know, reading is very, very important for your growth. Let me move on to the next one, Kerry, and where next things in terms of importance is exercising. There's clear evidence that exercising produces positive chemicals in your brain and your body, and you need to get into a regular rhythm in terms of exercising because it's good for you.
A body in motion tends to stay in motion.
There you go. Another point in terms of importance and thinking in terms of important things, not urgent things, is focus. There's a lot of productivity experts that talk about chunking your time like 30 to 45 minutes to 60 minutes at a time without distractions, with that cell phone off, no distractions, focusing on something and getting that done, and it's something that's important, and get that done rather than 9 million distractions.
That's also measurable.
And it's very measurable. So, and take a break after that intensity. Next one is management by walking around, and that is just what it says. Get to know folks. Get to know people that work with you. This is important time. And then the next one that I'd like to mention is rest. We have a stressful world, and if we're not getting enough rest, getting enough sleep, and actually some people suggest taking a nap in the middle of the day, and it's good for you. So, you know, those are the key things that I would suggest in terms of importance versus urgent. And so, you know, let's talk about those going forward. You're going to hear a lot about this stuff from Philip in our next in our interview. You are listening to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. We will be right back with our special guest, Philip Van Hooser.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. Our special guest is Philip Van Hooser. Phil is an entrepreneur and business owner who understands the complexities of building, sustaining, and leading a profitable enterprise. Since 1988, Phil's company has provided leadership training expertise for organizations both large and small. The large ones include Reebok, Wells Fargo, and Westar Energy. Phil is a member of the Speaker Hall of Fame, and his latest book, which we will be discussing today, is Leaders Ought to Know. Subtitle, 11 Ground Rules for Common Sense Leadership. Phil, thank you for joining us on the Business Builder Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Marty. I appreciate it.
You know, Phil, the first question I want to ask is, first of all, I want to make a statement first. I love the book. It was great, and I read a lot of books, and I read a lot of books on leadership. I'd like to know, why did you write it? Why did you write it, and for whom?
Well, I've been speaking about, let me back up. I've been studying leadership the entirety of my career, starting way back in the early 1980s. I've always been intrigued by the concept of leadership, and quite frankly, I've wanted to be a leader, better leader myself. Mm-hmm. And so I started an intense study of leadership based on research, based on observation, based on practical experience.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I started my business, in fact, in 1988, sharing the leadership concepts that I have, that I've learned and that I've been able to practice with some measure of success with my audiences. But I never took the time to sit down and write the book because, quite frankly, like you, I've read many, many leadership books. In fact, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of leadership books out there. And mm-hmm. I thought, how can I present my material in a way that's unique and also beneficial for the readers? And it was finally that I came to the realization that I do have a unique voice and that I see leadership from a practical prism.
Mm-hmm.
I see that there's opportunities that we don't have to be so technical, we don't have to be so academic, we don't have to be so philosophical, that there are practical common sense lessons of leadership that all too often get overlooked that are critically important for the people who practice them. So I decided to write that book from that perspective, and the audience to whom I'm writing the book could be anyone, of course, but primarily first-line, middle-level managers who mm-hmm. understand the technical aspect of their job very, very well, but may not have captured or may be frustrated by some of the people aspects that they need to get a little better at, and I think this book would help them immensely.
Well, Phil, let's go to the fundamentals, and your definition of leadership based on your experience, as you just described, you've read the books and you have a lot of practical experience. So let's set the stage. Define leadership based on your experience.
Well, my definition of leadership is very simple, actually, but I encourage the people who hear it or read my definition not to be caught up in the simplicity and miss the value of it. My definition basically revolves around two things. Number one, leadership is not position. I don't really care what the title is. I don't really care what desk you sit at.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership is not determined by our position, but rather leadership is determined by the ability to offer service and the willingness to take action.
Mm.
The ability to serve the needs of someone and the willingness to actually act upon the opportunities that are available to us, or the power or the authority that we possess, and hopefully get something done. And I can expound on that, of course, but my definition is fairly simple.
Hmm. Very good. And in the title of your book, I'm going to mention again, Leaders Ought to Know, 11 Ground Rules for Common Sense Leadership. Now, most of us have heard the phrase that common sense is not always commonplace and is not always used all the time. But you talk about common sense. Talk to us about in the framework. Talk about that in the framework of your book, Common Sense, the Nature of Leadership.
Well, you know, as you said, common sense is not all that common or commonplace for a lot of folks. And I think it's because that we don't think through the applications or the implications of the actions we take or the things that we say. In the book, I try to explain certain leadership principles or precepts, but I also try to explain the not only the what, but also the why, the how, and mm-hmm. and the after effect.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense, I think, is understanding that if you take this action, there will be, not might be, there will be some sort of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, understanding and anticipating and planning for the reactions is the common sense approach. If you say, if you do this, this will happen, well, then you're going to be prepared for the reaction. But on the other hand, if you say, well, philosophically this should work, but don't have any idea about what the actual reaction will be, then we get caught up in the problem. Common sense, I think, is understanding that we're going to do something, it's going to have a reaction, and we're going to be prepared to deal with the reaction as well.
That makes sense to me. And you use several great examples of your own career, which I really loved. And you were, you were pretty honest in terms of some of the stories that you took, some challenges or pitfalls that you had during your career. And explain your career. Give us a little more background. I did the introduction. Give us a little more background, because you have a great background in terms of, you know, your ability to write the book. Tell us more.
Well, I came out of college back in the late 1970s, and I came directly off the farm into college. So I was a farm boy, and I understood that hard work was the measure of the day. If you didn't work hard, you didn't get things done. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I got to college, I didn't know very much about business. In fact, I didn't know anything about business, mm-hmm. even though I was pursuing a business degree. But I understood that whatever I was going to be successful at was going to take hard work. And so when I left college with a degree in business, I went into the world of manufacturing, specifically human resource mm-hmm. management.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the more time I spent with employees, the more I learned about their concerns, their needs, their wants, their wishes.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, of course, is all too often people either saw that as being an unnecessary task or that they just didn't have the time for it. And so the illustrations that I drew all too often were from conversations I had with frustrated employees, mm-hmm. both managers and supervisors and the employees themselves. Remember, HR is a role in which you're sort of the conduit between management and labor.
Right.
And so I would hear labor complain about management, I'd hear management complain about labor, and I'd realize that they were much closer than they oftentimes realized, but there were certain integral parts that were missing. You said something a moment ago that I couldn't help but smile. You said you were very honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for recognizing that, because in the book I talk about one of the precepts or one of the common sense principles has got to be honesty. We have got to be gut-level honest with people for them to be able to put their trust in us.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I've made some mistakes along the way. I've been less than honest, with employees in the past, and each and every time it came, it rose up and it bit me. And I'm just not willing to do that anymore, and I would rather share my honest mistakes about honesty and other things with my readers so that they could hopefully avoid those same pitfalls themselves.
And that's why you're able to talk about common sense leadership, because you went through it. You had those trials. You learned those lessons, and you studied from that. You know, we're winding down this segment, Phil. We are going to continue to talk, but let's take a minute before we take our break. You mentioned, and I recognize this, that it seems we have more followers than leaders out there. Is that, am I accurate, or is that just my imagination?
Well, I don't think it's your imagination. I think it's accurate, and I think there's a primary reason for that, Marty. I think there's far more followers than there are leaders, primarily because it's easier to follow than it is to lead.
Hmm.
You know, leaders have to make decisions. Leaders have to act on those decisions. Leaders have to take responsibility for the decisions they make and act upon. And a lot of folks, I'm talking about good people now, not lazy people, but good people just don't want to take on that burden of responsibility, that yoke of responsibility that comes with leadership. I think there's more followers than there are leaders, but for those of us who have chosen the leadership path, that means we have more of an opportunity to make more of an impact with a greater number of people, because they are looking to be led and not just follow aimlessly or blindly along. I think it's a wonderful time to be a leader if we have the skills, if we have the abilities, if we know the route to take. I think it's a great time to influence and impact people and make a difference that will last beyond our time.
Phil, we need to go to a break. You're listening to The Business Builder Show, and our guest is Philip Van Hooser.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to The Business Builder Show. Our special guest is Philip Van Hooser, and his book is Leaders Ought to Know, 11 Ground Rules for Common Sense Leadership. And Phil, you've been talking a lot about common sense, and it's making sense to me. Now, here's where I'd like to go next. We hear about how leaders should be good motivators. Phil, can leaders be expected to be good motivators?
Marty, that's a $10,000 question.
Boy,
for a lot of folks that I encounter in my travels and in my speaking and training endeavors. if there's one question I get asked more than anything else by managers, supervisors, et cetera, who are trying to be better leaders, they say, Phil, can you help me be a better motivator? Can you help me motivate my people? And I have to look at them and I have to tell them with some disdain, I have to say, I have to tell them that unfortunately you cannot motivate anyone to do anything that they don't want to do. In fact, in the book, I call that my leadership, well, one of my leadership truths, motivational truths, that you can't motivate anyone, no one, in fact, can motivate anyone to do anything that they don't want to do. Now, as a leader, though, we can, in fact, figure out what they want to do and try to create an environment in which they pursue those things they want to do. So the second leadership truth is this, that people are not motivated by what they have, but rather by what they don't have and they want or need. Using common sense again, if we can't motivate people to do anything they don't want to do, but if they are motivated by not what they have, but rather by what they want or need, then a leader, a really good, perceptive leader, will take the time to figure out what their followers want and need and then show those followers how they can help them accomplish their wants and needs in lieu of or in addition to the successes of the organization. In other words, if you want a promotion, understand that this is how this organization promotes individuals based on performance and how they can help the organization succeed and others in the organization succeed. In other words, we take what the followers' needs are, work backwards from there, and show them how in association with the organization, their needs can be satisfied while the organization's needs are going to be satisfied. And me, as your leader, I'm here to help navigate the waters to get you from point A to point B where you want to be.
Boy, a lot of clarity.
That's a very simple, simplistic approach, but it works really, really well in practice.
Boy, and I thought that was great. Very clear. Kerry has a question for you, Phil.
So, Phil, in following up on that thought, a good leader in trying to get that motivation really has to get to the heart of the why that employee does what he would like to accomplish and why that employee is really showing up every day.
You're exactly right. And the why, for some people, is exceptionally hard to get to. For other people, it's exceptionally easy. And here's the thing that I think makes the major difference. There's a trust factor that comes by building a relationship with our followers. The more our followers trust us, the more they will confide in us exactly why they're doing what they're doing. At one point in the book, there's a chapter that I call Preventative Leadership, and in that chapter, I talk about the wisdom of dumb questions. Now, most of us know that the only dumb question is the one that's not asked, and that's what our third grade teacher told us. But the flip side of that is I've heard some pretty dumb questions myself over the years. But it's not dumb if you know why you're asking the question and if you get information from the question that, in fact, can help you be smarter in the future. I'll give you four quick dumb questions that I encourage leaders to ask that are contained in the book, and each one of them has its own unique purpose.
Go ahead.
First dumb question is, how am I doing? If you ask an employee, a subordinate, how am I doing, what you're giving them permission to tell you is how you're, what you need to improve upon. Now, if you're doing well, hopefully they will tell you that, but all too often, unless you ask, they won't tell you what you're not doing so well, and if we don't know what we're doing so well, how in the world can we improve upon it? If we don't improve upon it, then why would they ever trust us with their needs?
Right.
Common sense.
You're right.
A second question, what have I screwed up lately? I love that question, by the way, because they know what we've screwed up, at least from their perspective, because they talk about it in the break room, and they talk about it to their friends. They talk about it to people in the grocery store line if they can get them to stand still long enough.
Right.
But we are the only ones that don't really know how they're grading our performance as a leader. And so we need to ask them, what have we screwed up? But we also need to ask them, therefore, what should we be doing better?
Right.
How can we improve? We expect improvement, constant improvement from our employees, but why should they be able to hold us to that same level of accountability? The final thing is, in terms of what have we screwed up lately and what should I be doing better. The fourth question I ask, I encourage people to ask, is, and what would you like me to do about that thing that I have screwed up, or how can I make your job better?
Wow.
If they see us as a partner in the process, then the why question is answered fairly easily. Why should I trust him? Why should I follow my supervisor? Well, because he or she, of course, have my best interest in heart, and they're the best source that I can to get better myself.
You know, Phil, I know the people are writing notes down. I want to, before I know I won't forget, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
Oh, well, if they're reaching out for the purpose of buying the book, of course, I would encourage them to go to their favorite bookseller. They could go to Barnes & Noble online. They could go to Amazon.com, et cetera. But if they want to reach out and contact me personally, and I'd love to hear from any of your listeners, there's two primary ways that I will offer. First of all, they can reach me by my email address, Phil, P-H-I-L, at Van Hooser, V-A-N, Hooser.com, Phil at VanHooser.com, or they can call directly to the office. I'd love to talk to them if they have that desire. The phone number is 270-365-1536.
Excellent, excellent.
Again, 270-365-1536, and I should be fairly easy to catch up with.
And if Susan answers the phone, we'll say hello to her very nicely.
Be nice to her.
Be
she's
nice.
The best. She's my secret weapon, and she will either get you to me quickly or not, depending upon how well you treat her. So treat her really, really well.
There you go. Phil, believe it or not, we're kind of running out of time. So I need to ask you the burning question. We need an action item or two. What can our audiences, entrepreneurs, business owners, and professionals who seek excellence, what would you recommend? We've got about a minute in terms of an action item or two on how they can take action now.
Well, the first thing I would encourage them to do is buy this book or some other leadership book, because quite frankly, we're never going to grow as a leader unless we have the opportunity to see leadership from other people's eyes. And so, number one, I think continue your leadership learning, leadership education. That's number one. Number two, talk to your followers. Talk to your followers. Over-communicate with your followers. The more they know about you, the more you know about them, the more the road is going to be paved to more effective leadership. Mm-hmm. And then number three, I would simply say, you never stop learning, so never stop exploring what other leaders, the best leaders around you, are doing. Find the leaders that are in your world, ask them what you might learn from them based on their past experience, and quite frankly, you'll be finding the common sense leadership lessons in life as well.
Phil's book is Leaders Ought to Know, 11 Ground Rules for Common Sense Leadership. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Marty. I enjoyed it, Kerry. Thanks so much. I hope this has been good for your listeners.
Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. Tom, let's wrap up our interview with Phil with our commentary by Dr. Tony Massari.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about leadership. Philip Van Hooser is a leadership expert who has an interesting and valuable approach to leadership. For him, leadership is not about position, it's about service. Put another way, successful leaders are those who have sought and found a way to serve others. Leadership is about earning respect and trust and being responsible for your choice to lead. Peter F. Drucker put it this way: the leaders who work most effectively never say I. They don't think I, they think we, they think team. They accept responsibility and don't sidestep it. But we gets the credit. This is what creates trust, what enables you to get the task done. For Van Hooser, leaders know their followers' expectations, wants, and needs, and how to exceed and fulfill them. Marian Anderson's thought applies. Leadership should be born out of the understanding of the needs of those who would be affected by it. For Van Hooser, leadership is not manipulation. It is giving to give, not to get. An adaptation of the words of Teddy Roosevelt apply. The best leader is one who has sense enough to pick good people, to do what needs to be done, and the self-restraint to keep from meddling with them while they do it. In my opinion, The advice of our sixth president, John Quincy Adams, says it all. If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. Thank you, Philip Van Hooser, for showing us the way to be an effective leader. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Thank you, Dr. Tony Massari, for another terrific commentary. Let's move on, gentlemen, to an article from Entrepreneur Magazine. Where do you get this title? Reasons Your Employees Probably Hate You.
Oh, I don't even need to read this to give you some examples.
Okay. Reasons Your Employees Probably Hate You.
Oh, I didn't see the little footnote. Don't mention names, Tom.
Okay, I won't. All right. Well, I think this connects to what we've done in the show up to this point, and did I already mention that this is written by Mark Sanborn, our good friend?
No, I was going to jump in there and say that this is from August of 2013, and it's written by Mark Sanborn, good friend of the show.
Great friend of the show. Reasons Your Employees Probably Hate You. So probably might be a word that we want to throw in there, too. And Mark sets up the discussion by saying he worked for someone who was one of these people that, you know, gauged success by what time you got in there in the morning and what time you left at night. Really didn't pay maybe that much attention to real productivity or real results. And so Mark takes a look and he says, okay, let's look at some of these reasons why, you know, other associates or your employees may not like you. You may be rewarding the wrong things. Now, what does this mean? You know, Carrie, a thought?
I'm going to take it.
Go ahead.
You start to reward what gets done and not necessarily what's important.
Mm.
And that dovetails into how you opened it.
Perfect.
If you're based in activity-based actions,
right?
And that's a couple shows ago we came up with the word busyness.
Right.
Not business, busyness.
Yeah, great one.
That allows certain individuals just to look real, real busy and want to get the apple from the teacher for that day.
Right.
And not really working to the ultimate goals.
So as the leader, you need to identify and focus on the results that really matter. Things that really matter, like the products were shipped on time. You made that number of sales calls you were supposed to make. The report was done on time. People who do this, they should be recognized. Another thing we may not do and why people may not like us or employees probably hate you. I don't like that, but I guess it's kind of for strength. Maybe you don't listen to them. Maybe you don't listen to the folks who work with you. And, you know, I got to tell this quick story. I did work for someone one time. They used to call me into his office, and I'd come into the office, and it was usually in his mind, a sense of urgency. And so I'd come bolting over, stop what I was doing, and I'd walk into the office, and he would have his computer on. He would be answering his phone, and he'd be sending text messages while I was sitting in the chair across his desk. And so I would eventually say, like, why am I here? And so I would say, you're not listening to me. Well, of course I am. No human being can do two things at the same time. You can't. So an employee may not like you if you're not listening to them. Carrie, any other thoughts?
And this underpins number one. You're doing the wrong things. If people aren't listening to each other, they're probably doing their own busy activities, and they're not working for that definitive purpose.
Right. So you may be rewarding the wrong things. You may not be listening the way you should be. And maybe you don't notice what your employees are doing. Now, this goes back again, Carrie, that's the person who's the squeaky wheel is the one who's always talking about how great they are. Right. And you may be paying undue or inappropriate attention to that person. You know, in just about every situation, in just about every, especially in the business world, the great work is usually being done backstage.
Yes.
Out of the spotlight. Like, for instance, the Business Builder Show. Our good friend, Mr. Tom Jenkins, who he's probably blushing. I'm not looking at him. The great work is being done backstage. So we need to notice the people who are doing the important work, the people who are driving success. Is this making sense? Is this all connecting, by the way, gentlemen? Are we making sense through all of this?
And it gets, again, dovetailed to rewards and not necessarily monetarily a reward, but the reward of a job well done and being told you're doing a great job. If you're not listening and you're rewarding the wrong things, chances are you're going to lose some really great people that are carrying the heavy part of the load.
Wow. Show for entrepreneurs and small business owners and professionals who seek excellence. Wow, there's tremendous advice and stuff we're sharing here. This is good information. So another point we have here is you may have a bad attitude. And if you're the boss and you have a bad attitude, what's going to happen when everyone else around you? There's a test question, gentlemen.
They're going to get a bad attitude.
They're going to have a bad attitude, generally speaking. If you say, I really hate these particular customers, what do you think everybody else in the organization is going to feel about those particular customers?
Well, if the boss doesn't like them.
If the boss doesn't like them, what do you think's going to happen? Right?
Ain't nobody going to like them.
Ain't nobody going to like them. Attitudes are contagious. And leaders, whether you're a supervisor, a sales manager, the CEO, no matter who you are, your attitude is contagious. Leaders are especially powerful in influencing the mood of those on their team. This is so important to recognize. If you come in a miserable mood and you act that way, you've set the stage for a bad organizational day. You've set the stage for sales decreases. You're looking at me, Kerry, like, yeah, I think you're right, Marty.
I've been there and lived through those wars and have seen the day go sideways at 6:05 because the owner or boss chewed everybody out for an irrelevant reason because they got out of the bed on the wrong side, and then it took me 3 hours to talk everybody into not quitting.
Yeah, there you go. So that wasn't time well spent. So I think these lessons were great. The article is Reasons Your Employees Probably Hate You in Entrepreneur Magazine by Mark Sanborn. So here we are again. Thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show with me, your business coach, Marty Wolf. Thank you, Philip Van Hooser, for being our special guest, and Dr. Tony Massari for another excellent commentary. Kerry and Tom, as always, thank you for your help and support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had a blast today. You guys were really especially helpful today, you know, in terms of supporting me and keeping me talking.
That's because we listened.
No, that's because you listened. That's right. Anything to say, Kerry? We got a little bit of time.
I just wanted you to mention Philip's book one more time because it ties right into Mark's a little essay here on why your employees hate you.
Leaders Ought to Know, 11 Ground Rules for Common Sense Leadership by Philip Van Hooser. All right, we need to wrap it up. Next week, our special guest will be Dennis Davis. Dennis has deployed twice in support of both Operations Iraqi and Enduring Freedom, and he has written a book titled Not Your Average Joe, Profiles of Military Core Values and Why They Matter in the Private Sector. So we do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. We look forward to being with you next week on the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Thank you so much for listening and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.